Hello and welcome, glory to God, for He is good. Praise the Lord, and I'm so glad that you are here to join me today. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. And we're here to say yes to Jesus forever. So do me a favor, let me know you're here, throw a thumbs up, like button, and also subscribe so that it helps this channel grow. And then we're going to be speaking and touching on 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 today. Starting in the New Testament, we're finally done with 1 Kings chapter 1 to 22. And it was a long journey, of a 2-month journey that we've been there. So welcome everyone. Narwhal, Queen Swag, Jared, yes, Uriah. I'm so glad all of you guys are here. And we have our daily devotion today, and it's talking about the reality of our faith. And going into the New Testament, it's just like a fresh breath air to me. And this author of 1 Peter is by Simon Peter, the apostle. And the author claims to be the eyewitness to Christ's sufferings. And Peter was an apostle of the Lord Jesus, one of the 12 disciples. And so we get to look into this. Amen. Hello, Valerio, Crystal, Mammy, Kristen. I'm so glad you're here. So let's first read the passage and pray and dig right into some reflections so that we can learn, and then we can dive into the Word of God even deeper. And so you're going to want to stick to the very end and listen to it, because we know that God can impact you, grow you, and let you just be built on His firm foundation. And Peter is actually, his name is called, it means the rock. It's like the foundation. And so just like Christ is our rock, Peter was known as the rock, the Cephas, the rock. So 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 to 9. Let's read it together. I'll pray for you later, Crystal Fortunes. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who has been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling of His blood, grace, peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a new living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, from the dead, and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Amen. Verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have suffered grief in all kinds of trials, and there have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And though you may have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you may not have seen Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We pray that this word of God would be powerful, sweet like honey, rich like gold and silver. Lord God, we know that your word is alive and powerful. It's a tool for us to grow in you. So Father, let us be rooted within your word. Let the Spirit of the Lord touch our heart, heal us mentally, physically, relationally, in our life, and let us be your light as we grow in you, in your firm foundation, and let your name be known. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Okay, so two reflections that we can gain from this. Number one is the amazing truth. And number two is the purposeful refining. Now, an amazing truth where Peter, he's greeting with his audience, with his readers, in an amazing truth. Though the believers are scattered exiles in the eyes of the world, all over the world, in the eyes of God, they are the elect. They are chosen, and they are perfectly set where He wants them to be. You are placed where God wants you to be, and you are there for a purpose. And the word elect gives you a glimpse into the wonderful and beautiful workings of our triune God in our lives. And consider this, the Father chose you according to His perfect wisdom, even before creation. Whoa, Anita Taylor, you sent a cool quote. I see that. Welcome, I'm so glad you're here. And then, according to His perfect timing, perfect work, perfect wisdom, perfect glory, He had chosen you, and He has caused our dead hearts to beat, to come alive, so that we would be alive and well, and be able to believe in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, we give Him all glory. And not only that, His Spirit, Holy Spirit, continues to commune in you, sanctifying you throughout your lives to give you a life of purpose and a life of meaning. And when this life is over, it's just the beginning of eternity. God has reserved for you an imperishable home in heaven, a place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness and disease, a place where you're going to be in eternal presence of God in your life. Amen. And so this is an amazing truth. Only one's response is appropriate, that we can give glory to God forever and ever. Amen. And so this is the amazing truth. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they work as a triune God, three in one, one being. And if you don't know the Trinity, well, it's pretty much God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is true that it's three person in one, but it is one God. And our finite minds can't really comprehend who God is. That's why we put Him into these different sections and categories. But we cannot box God into a box because He's bigger than that. It's almost like water, steam, ice, and liquid. Three different forms, but yet it's still water. It's still H2O. That is the triune God who works in us and through us, and with us in our life, and gives us a life that is so wonderful, that's so good. And so that's why we praise Him, we glorify Him, and we walk in His ways all the days of our life. And so the second thing of reflection is purposeful refining, and rooting Peter's audience in their identity as God's elect was necessary because they were undergoing various trials. Peter, he reveals the real reason for such seasons. The hardships, too, are part of the work of God on behalf of His people. Hardship, trials, challenges are part of God's work on behalf of you. And as you overcome these trials, you become a stronger individual. You become more built upon His foundation, like your character would be developed into a more godly character. It would be tested, refined like gold, and put into the fire, pressed hard like diamond. And so you become a beautiful thing when you come out of that dark, dark time. But you know, He is with you in the fire, just like He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. He's with you when you're facing your giants, just like He was with David when he faced Goliath. He's with you in the dark times, like in jail and those stuff, just like He was with Joseph, who brought Joseph to become a prisoner, to become second in command under Pharaoh. This is our God who is with you, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And so, Jesus, He told His disciples that not even a single sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of the Father, that the elect are far more worth than many sparrows, and God's perfect wisdom is indeed behind the seasons of suffering in the lives of His people, and He always works for the good of those whom He has purchased by the blood of His Son, Jesus. And the good that God works in your lives is the refining of your faith, the strengthening of your faith, the building up of your faith into something more valuable than pure gold. That is your faith. More valuable than pure gold. More sweet than honey. And when your faith is strengthened, you start living in victory. You start living knowing that you have already won the battle because God is the ultimate victor of the eternal battle. And you are just part of it. And it is an honor to be part of God's wonderful, wonderful journey and purpose that He's given us. So there is purposeful refining in our life, and we must not take it for granted. Amen. And so let's dig into this Peter, the first epistle, the first letter of Peter. And Peter, let me tell you who he is. He's actually a businessman. He's actually not a slacker. He's actually a fisherman. And so he went out to fish on the boats to fish for fish. And also he had to sell the fish in the marketplaces. He became a disciple through the witness of his own brother. And he was given the name Peter by Jesus himself. And he was one of three men who were apparently closer to the Lord and who followed the Lord into this inner circle, the Garden of Gethsemane, where there was also James and John. Wow, there's 10 things. So number 5, he was also the natural born leader and became leader to the 12 apostles. And he also publicly denied Christ at the crucifixion, saying, "I don't know him." But later he repented rather bitterly. So there he made mistakes, but he repented. Then he also had a private interview with the risen Lord, which deeply affected him. And then he also was filled with the Spirit, God's Spirit, on the day of Pentecostal in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, I believe, or chapter 2. And immediately he became the leader of the early church. And he preached, and 3,000 people heard, and they repented and turned to him, to God. And so he was also chosen by God to become a missionary apostle to the circumcision, that is, the Jews of the dispersion, who are scattered all over the world. And over the time, he traveled farther and farther away from his home base. And then, later on, he was crucified head downward in Rome under Nero. And Nero's persecution happened where he, like, just overthrew all the churches. And Peter, he was one of the martyrs, early martyrs of the church. This happened in 68 AD. And so, wow, Peter did a lot of things. Peter wrote this probably in the first century, because he was, the first century was when Jesus came. And it was around 63 to 67 AD. And it's interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of things. Let me see. To whom it was written? It was written to strangers, to you, scattered throughout 5 Roman provinces. And the purpose for this is there's 2 reasons why Peter wrote this letter. Number 1 is to challenge and strengthen believers to stand against the onslaught of persecution being leveled against them. And this is Peter's primary purpose. And then number 2, to reinforce the glorious truth that the believer is only a stranger and a pilgrim upon the earth. And Peter's sense that the message of holiness and dedication was especially needed during the time of persecution. And there was a strong temptation to return to the world, to the culture, in order to save their own life and their own property. Wow. We can see how Peter is a very, very important person that we should listen to. And that's why we're digging into this first epistle of Peter, this first letter, which is to encourage us and to teach us. So as we look into this first passage, we're going to be looking into, in 1 Peter chapter 1 to 9, how to be secure throughout suffering. How to be secure through suffering. And if you feel like you're suffering, this is just for you. And know that you are saved. And there's going to be 3 points that we're going to look at, and tomorrow that we're going to go through the fourth. And you're going to want to listen to it. So, number one, know that believers are chosen by God. We are elect by God. Number two, know the believers' living hope. The living hope, the hope that is alive, alive in Christ. Number three, know the truth about trials and temptations. And tomorrow we'll talk about knowing the wonder and greatness of salvation. Knowing the wonder and greatness of salvation. The salvation that Jesus gave to us, which is a gift for you. A gift, a wonderful gift that you must receive. Amen. So, we're going to touch on, I think today's going to be a longer stream because, wow, the New Testament, it's more detailed. There's more commentaries and themes that are talked about. But it's all blessings. So, we're going to be able to look into it. So, know that believers are chosen by God. We're talking about how to be secure through suffering, knowing that you are saved. And throughout my life, I've seen people suffer. And we are living on this earth. And this earth, it's broken, filled with suffering, filled with pain, sickness. And we need to learn how to navigate through this life and be secured in Christ through suffering. Not only there's suffering in like sickness and disease, but also people's greed, people's evilness. And because of that, it also impacts others around them. So we might be experiencing war out there. And people are dying. People are in pain. People are lost because of the greed of people. And people are profiting off war. And that's why there is war. There's these proxy war just to launder and fund and get money. And that's a sad thing. Hello, Tiger, Ashley. And so, I want you guys to be secured. Secured in your life. In my life, I also was a missionary kid. So I saw people, Christians, being persecuted, being beaten, and interrogated. And I saw my dad get kicked out of China, given 1 week to leave. And I saw how there were cigarettes down on my floor in the house because the policemen, 23 policemen, came into my house in China as they were arresting the believers there and my dad for having an underground church. And suffering is there. But suffering, it should lead us to know that the world is not perfect. To know that we need a Savior. And that Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. That Savior is the one who came from heaven to earth so that you can go from earth to heaven, so that you can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. So let's look into this introduction. Peter, he is writing to believers who are hurting and suffering. These early believers, first generation believers who were believing in Jesus, they were hurting. They were being persecuted. They were being ejected and rejected in their community. And they were being kicked out of their own houses. And people were being ridiculed and persecuted because they lived for Jesus Christ. And throughout the Roman Empire, believers have been attacked and were savagely persecuted. So much so that they've been forced to flee for their lives. They've been forced to leave everything behind, homes, properties, estates, businesses, jobs, money, church, friends, community, even fellow believers. And believers had apparently taken their families and what belonged to them and what they can carry and fled for their lives. And Peter is writing to five Roman provinces where most of the believers have apparently tried to hide and find safety. But note how the church is continuing on as the underground church. The underground church, even though the government was not for it, but they still met together in houses, met together in buildings, met together in secret in order to build each other up and encourage each other and to stay strong in their faith in Jesus Christ. And imagine this fear, uncertainty, insecurity, wandering about and searching for a safe place, for a way to earn a living, not knowing where your next meal will be, not knowing where you're going to live. It's like you're homeless. Imagine that. You have to flee for your life because you don't know if someone is after you just for because of your belief. And in some cases, the believers did not even know where their next meal would come from. And the church and its dear believers were still fleeing for their lives, for Jesus. And all the feelings that attack human emotions when a person is being hunted down for a brutal slaughter were attacking these believers in fear, concern, restlessness, sleeplessness, anxiety, stress, uncertainty, insecurity, and a pounding heart at the slightest shadow or noise. These believers, they desperately needed strong encouragement. But how? How do you shore up this strength in a person? How do you strengthen an individual who is suffering and hurting so badly, so much, like everything is against them? How can a person be secure through suffering and persecution? Well, the good news is that there is only one way. And the only way is that he must know that he is saved and be absolutely sure that he is under the care of the heavenly, loving Heavenly Father who never lets us down, who never abandons us or forsakes us. For he is for us and not against us. And if God is for you, then who can ever stand against you? Amen. And so this is a discussion for the first section of 1 Peter. And it clearly tells you how to be secure through your suffering and persecution. And your security is this: knowing that you are saved, knowing that you belong to God, knowing that you are looked after by God. And the first thing that you must know is that your salvation is this: that you know that you are chosen by God. You are not randomly selected, but you are chosen. You are elect. And you are people who are, yes, scattered throughout the earth. You don't have to be a particular ethnicity or particular age. You are not limited to that. But you are elected and chosen by God. You are people who are sanctified and set apart and made holy and covered by the blood of Christ. You are people who obey God and follow in His ways and reject worshiping false idols. And you are people who experience grace and peace and true hope and love in your life. You are chosen by God. So type, I am chosen by God. I am chosen by God. Phoebe. Yes. So here, the believers are chosen. They're chosen believers. You, they were pilgrims and foreigners scattered all over the earth. And this is a descriptive picture being painted in verse 1. Believers are only strangers and temporary here on earth. We know that our eternal kingdom is in heaven. And the word pilgrim, sojourners, visitors, or exile, it is the idea of a person visiting a place for a while, temporarily, not as a permanent resident. And believers, we are actually citizens of heaven. And our home is heaven with God, not on earth with the rulers of this world. The rulers of this and people of this earth may persecute believers, but believers here on earth are only temporary, only as strangers, pilgrims, sojourners, and exiles. And this is significant It means two things. Number one, it means that we live here on earth. It does not matter all that much. No matter where we live, it's not our permanent home. Our home is in heaven. And we may be forced to leave our homes and countries because of trouble and persecution. We may be poor and suffer great hardship in this life, but it's only for a brief time, only for 100 years or shorter, which ends up leading you towards where you can end up in eternity. And so you are only strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and you shall soon be called to go home, called to a permanent home where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, in heaven, and be there forever and ever. Amen. There shall be no more hunger, no more poverty or suffering or hardships in heaven. And number two, it means that you must keep your eyes, your minds, focused upon things above, not earthly things. Focus upon heaven, your permanent home, the promise of God, promised land. Focus upon how short life is. And life is so short. Life is so short. And life, that short life, is going to determine where you end up for eternity. And focus upon the uncertain, insecure, and how uncertain and insecure and short-term things upon earth really are. Everything that you see around you, me, the computer, the devices, the homes, the houses, the land, all of these are temporary. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. And so that's why we must root our life upon His firm foundation. Amen. Allison says, I am chosen by God. Praise the Lord. And good morning, Jeff. Good morning, everyone. And so let's dive into the Bible, the Word of God, because it's so helpful. It's helpful for us to grow and learn and to back all this teaching with the Word of God, not just yap about things and not just blabber about it, what I think, but the Word of God must be in congruence, must be in sync with each other. Amen? Amen, Brooke. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, it says, for here we do not have the lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. For here we do not have a lasting city. It's only temporary. But we are seeking for the city which is to come, the city in heaven, the city that is eternal. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. And the soul is something that's eternal. The soul is something that will go on to eternal, either life or eternal death, which is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Genesis chapter 47, verse 9. So Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my sojourning, my wandering, are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years that my father lived during the days of their sojourning. Just talking about how temporary life is. Even though Jacob, he lived and wandered around for 135 years, he says, these years are temporary. Life is so short. Life is fragile and short. And that's why we do not live for just this lifetime. We do not just live for the next generation. We live for God. for what's to come for eternity. We live to save more souls so that they may enter into the kingdom of God. We live to be missionaries for God, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. As this earth is so dark and broken, yet God is bright. And God is one that preserves the earth so that's not destroyed. Psalm chapter 39, verse 12 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my cry, unto your peace at my tears. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like my fathers. Sojourners, exiles. We are not of this world. We are living in this world, but not of this world. But we are sent into this world on a mission by God in order to spread his word, spread his love, spread his goodness and mercy so that other people can walk and learn about Christ. Amen. And then Psalms chapter 119, verse 19 says, I am a stranger in this earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Wow. So, all this temporary, the things that we have to leave behind on earth, temporary. For we know our treasures are in heaven, where it does not rot, does not rust, does not decay. Amen. Wow. And then in verse 2, it talks about the chosen who are elected by God. And we are actually called elect, the people who have been elected or chosen by God. And this means a wonderful thing, the most wonderful thing. It means that believers have the highest position in all the world, the position of being God's own holy and beloved children. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, so as those have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So, believers have been elected to be holy, to be set apart, to be without blemish. And the holy of the holiest is our Lord our God, who is without any darkness in him. And the word holy in the Greek, it says hagios. Hagios means holy, which means to be set apart, to be separated. And God called believers out of this world and away from the old life it offered, the old life of sin and death. He called believers to be set apart and to be separated unto him and to live a new life that he offers, the new life of righteousness, of eternal life in him. You see, he says, the old has gone, the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen. And then, to be an elect, believers have been elected to be the beloved, to be beloved of God. And God has called believers to turn away from this old life and to show that old life that showed hatred to God, that rejected him, that old life that rejected, rebelled, ignored, denied, and constantly cursed in the face of God. God has called you as believers to be his beloved, the person who will receive his love in Jesus Christ and who will allow him to shower his love upon you. Wow. God has chosen you to be his prized possession, to be his people, to be his loved ones, to be his light. If God loves believers this much, enough to choose them, elect them to be his very own people, and beloved people, then God will look after you and take care of you. For he is your heavenly Father, and you are his sons and daughters. You are his children, and he loves you so much. And if he is your Father, then surely he will give you good things. So no matter how ridiculed, abused, persecuted, no matter how poor, hungry, troubled, and distressed, no matter how great the hardship, God will meet the needs of your life. You, as his dear believers, the one whom he has elected to be his own. And remember that the Thessalonian believers who were suffering trouble and persecution, even as these believers were. And the truth of election and predestination were used by both Paul and Peter to encourage believers as they were suffering great trouble and hardship. And these are wonderful truths that encourage you in your life as you face trials and challenges in this world. Wow. If you find this helpful, type, "I am chosen. I am chosen." I'm going to blow my nose. Thank you. Yeah. Man. Well, I have to do a 5-minute intermission. But just, yeah, I need to use restroom. Oh, man, my tummy. I'm just human after all. I gotta be back.
Okay, just hold it. I'll be there back in 3 minutes.
Let's see who's back. I'm back. Alrighty. I feel better. Someone said, "Oh, am I sick?" No, I'm not. I just woke up and just got live stream. Right now it's 7:41 here. Yo, it's great. Wow. I left when there were 30 people watching and then now there's 43. Glory to God. Yes, I was at the bathroom. You know, I'm not like a robot, right? Like an AI guy who can just keep on talking. But, yeah, it's good. It's good. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. Okay. I'm not a robot. I'm not. Where are you located? I am located in California. I'm located in California, in the Bay Area. So, yeah, let's get back to it. Wow. So God has chosen us to be elect. And we are elected by the foreknowledge of God. And what does this mean? Foreknowledge can mean two things. Foreknowledge means that God sees the future. He knows the future. He's timeless. God is beginning and end. And so no matter how far a person looks into the future, God already seen it. He already knows. He knows exactly what will happen. He knows every single event, and consequences. He knows exactly what will happen, but or even every single possibilities and its consequences. And that's why we depend on God. What Bible verse? I'm looking into the New Testament now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. And right now we're on verse 2 about how we are chosen, we are elect, and how, talking about this really deep theological thing. So I'm really excited, because we've been going through First Kings the last 2 months. But wow, yes. So, good morning to all of you guys. God is so good. Amen. So, foreknowledge means that God knows exactly what all men would do. Every single act and consequences, God is somewhat like an astronomer who can foresee the exact position, size of the moon on the first day of the month. He knows the future because he foresees all events that will take place with the moon between now and then. God is one supreme panoramic view of all things in the past, present, and future. And so that's why if God is all-knowing, he's all wisdom, and he knows beginning, past, present, then wouldn't it be best to consult the one who knows all things? Wouldn't it be best to talk to him, to ask him for his wisdom, for his knowledge and guidance, so that he can lead us towards the right direction, towards the direction, even though it doesn't look right, but God knows what's best for us. He knows what is best for you. Right, Emily? Micah? Hello, Ghostbuster. Yeah. So, second, foreknowledge means to foreordain, determine, appoint, and predestine. And this is a definite. This is definitely the meaning in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. It says, "The man delivered over by the predetermined plan and the foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." Or he says, "Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hand and been crucified and slain." God, he did not just foresee the death of Christ. He foreordained it. And Peter himself makes the point that Christ, who verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in the last times for you. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. "For he was foreknown before the foundations of the world." He knew it before he created the heavens and the earth, but has appeared in the last times for the sake of you. Why did Jesus appear? He appeared to save you. He appeared to give you hope. He appeared to lead you into a life of salvation, to lead you into a life of hope, to lead you into a life of meaning and purpose. And so the foreknowledge of God is the most wonderful truth for the believer, that God is in total control, 100%. And he not only foresee all events, but he can foreordain and control them, work them all out for good. Just imagine, every single event on earth is worked out for good by God. He works the events out for his people. And no matter how much trouble, how much hardship you suffer, no matter how little you may understand, God knows and will work it out for your good. Why? Because you are his elect. You are his chosen people, his holy and beloved people. And the chosen people of God are those who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And the elect because he foresaw them, he ordained them to be his holy and beloved people. Wow. Wow, this is, very Calvinistic. Very Calvinistic, which is talking about predestination. And a lot of people don't understand that they've been chosen. God chose you before you chose God. He chose you before you chose him. He chose to send his son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay for your sin, and to raise from the dead, defeating sin and death, and to give you an opportunity to have a relationship with him. He chose you, chose to love you, so that you can love him. He chose to create you in his image, so that you may live this life to glorify him. You are chosen. You are elect. And you are not here by accident, Romeo. A lot of people think that they're here by accident. A lot of people think that they're a mistake. A lot of people think that everything is against them and that they're not supposed to be living here. But no, God says, you are my child and I have chosen you and I know everything about you and I want a relationship with you. So going into a deeper study, someone said, just curious, are you a pastor, Alexandrius? Yes, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for 3 years so far and going, and now I'm online. So glory to God. So deeper study, the foreknowledge. The word foreknowledge means to see before, to know beforehand, to see and know the future, to foreordain. God is God, therefore he sees the future. He's not boxed into time, matter, and space. We are boxed into time, matter, and space. He created time, matter, space. He created the heavens and the earth. And he sees all things. And no matter how far a person looks into the future, God sees it. And God knows exactly what will happen. Every single event and its consequences. Exactly what could happen, but will not. Every single possibility and its consequences. Therefore, God knows exactly what people will do, every single act and its consequences, exactly what man could do, but will not, every single possibility and its consequences. God is God. He is eternal and omniscient, knowing all, and he knows the past, the present, and the future. If you think you know so much, you got to check your ego at the door. You got to check that pride out of the door. You got to know and recognize that God is bigger, that what you know is not 10%, it's not 1% of all the knowledge in the world. It's not even 1.00001% of the world. But you know who knows all things? God knows all things. He knows all things. So, in light of this, a question arises that is extremely important. If God knew all the terrible consequences of evil and death that would enter and overtake the world, if he knew the world would even kill his own son, Jesus, on that cross, why did he go ahead and create the world? Why did he create the universe? Why did he not choose another way to do so? Why did he not choose another way to make a perfect world where everyone is perfectly operating? And in the simplest term, I know this is a big question. You're going to want to listen carefully. Oh, Dylan, I remember you. There are two reasons. At least two reasons. Number one, God wanted a creature, a being with a free will, created in his image. God created man because God willed to have a presence of a being who will freely choose to love and worship him, freely choose to obey and fellowship with him, freely choose to serve and reign with him. And in his foreknowledge, God knew that some would choose him, and some would reject him, but he was willing to face the pain and the hurt in his heart for you. He was willing to face the abuse and shame to his person. He was willing to face the rejection, the rebellion against his will, in order that some might know the glorious, his glorious mercy and grace, and experience the all the glory that he has himself in heaven. Does that make sense, Tiff? Amen. And number two, God did not choose another way to create and deal with man. Because the way God created man was the best way, was perfect. He created Eden, which was a perfect environment with a free will of choice in a perfect fellowship with God. And because the way God deals with man is the best way in love, in mercy, in his grace of his son. Love is the greatest force on earth. And it's the very nature of God himself. And that's why we say God is love. God is love. And love will change and transform and help and give and win and conquer when nothing else will. Love will cause a person to reach out to help another and even cause a person to sacrifice his life quicker than any other force on earth. Love is within a family. Love is within your relationship with God. Love is something that is so powerful that we cannot deny that there is something greater out there. And that love, which is His love, the agape love, the unconditional love of God. And note that one other point that is crucial, and that point stresses a glorious love, the care of our God. It is determined by the counsel of God. And the word determinate means predestined, appoint, decree, ordain, plan, purpose. It's a plan set within bounds, within the certain boundary. It's a purpose that is set, marked out, determined, and decreed to happen. And the word counsel means to advise, to design, will, to give a piece of advice, is to carry a force of being willed and determined. And since God knows exactly what would happen in every situation, His plans for the best things to happen. He plans for the best things to happen for you and not against you. God takes counsel and puts all things under advisement and chooses the best way. And you may not understand some of the things, that happen, nor why they happen the way they do. And we may think something else or some other way may have been a better way. But we must remember two things. Number one, we cannot see into the future. No man can. We cannot know what would have happened if it was the other way that had been chosen. We cannot have known what would have happened to us, to others, to the world. And in every situation or event, there are many other things that could have taken place. And this is true in every situation, whether we call it good or bad. So think for a moment. What would have taken place if the situation had been replaced by some other happenings? What would have taken place if another way had been chosen? How much would have changed for the worse eventually, if not now? You see, we cannot know. But we know this, that God knows all things. He sees all things, for He deals with the future as well as the present. He deals with eternity. With a whole view, God sees the bigger picture. Therefore, another situation, another way could have changed things for the worse. Simply stated, God knows the future, everything that could happen as well as what is best and what should happen. And God takes counsel, purpose, and determines and plans and chooses the best things to happen. He's going to be victorious, and He is victorious. So, we who love God were chosen and were called according to His purpose to know all things that work together for His good. And how do we know? Because we love God, and we are called according to His purpose. God knew that we would say yes to Jesus, and that we would love Him, follow Him, and therefore God called you. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many believers." And note, why you are predestined, why you are chosen, why you are elect. This is the key, that He, God's Son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren, that God has determined that Jesus might have many brothers who many will live and fellowship with Him as the first person. You are with Christ, with Him, and the preeminent person throughout the universe. And this is the reason God chose you for the very best events, the very best ways for you. And it's the reason He works all things for good for believers, and God knows all the possibilities. Therefore, He is able to take counsel and determine to plan the very best for you. Believe and trust His glorious truth. Wow. Amen. I may have to go live stream later because there's so much to cover. There's so much to cover that God has chosen you, Harry. God has chosen you. Which state am I? I'm in California. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but just as it is written, things which have eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has prepared for you, those who love Him. Rita, I'm in California. I'm in Fremont, California. I'm doing well. Thank you, Rita. How are you? Are you close by? Check us out. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask and think, according to the power and works within us. Let that sink in. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think or imagine, according to the power that works within you. Exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can ask and think. This is our God, who is bigger, who is more powerful. Philippians chapter 6, 1 verse 6 says, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perfect it. He makes all things, perfects all things. That's our God, our Lord, our Savior. He's perfect. So, a study of key scriptures dealing with God's foreknowledge and determinate counsel. A study giving comfort and security, knowing that God is in control. He is in ultimate control. And that's why all of this, you being here, is not by accident, but it's foreordained by God. Here, He increases the channel to glorify His name. He makes the channel known so that He may be known. And yes, sure, He tested me. Tested me to say, hey, are you going to be faithful to sharing my word to the end? Are you going to be faithful when you're tired? Are you going to be faithful when things aren't going your way? And I said, yes, Lord, I will be faithful. And so when you're faithful with little, God will give you more. He's faithful. He will trust you with more. So some scriptures dealing with foreknowledge. Wow. Wow. Foreknowledge, sanctification, obedience. Man, there's just way too much, guys. Way too much. I don't think I'm going to finish. I'm only on verse 2 right now. That's insane. Man, God is good. So much to learn. You guys feel like you're learning? Yeah. I will touch on it. But right now we're looking on foreknowledge, the election of God. Man, I'm blown away. So let's touch on the foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge of God. The scripture dealing with God's foreknowledge. God's foreknowledge concerns Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, it says, and this man, delivered over by predestination, predetermined plan, and foreknowledge of God, you nailed him on the cross by the hand of godless men and put him to death. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, we touched on it. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in the last times for the sake of you. I'm glad you're learning. So foreknowledge, number one, it concerns believers. Well, and number one, concerns Christ. Number two, concerns believers. in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. God wants you to have grace and peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, verse 29 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And you are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He would be at the firstborn among many believers. His foreknowledge concerns Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 2. God has not rejected His people for whom He foreknew. Or do you not know what Scripture says in the passage of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? This is why Israel is so important. This is why it's so important to stand with Israel. This is why it's so important for Israel to be established. We know Israel is not just found in the Bible, but it's found in this world today. Israel is going to be, well, the devil's trying to crush them, trying to turn the world against them, and trying to say how horrible, how evil they are, trying to demonize them. But Israel, they worship the one true God. Israel is the one that ushered in the seed, the promised seed, Jesus, who gave us the opportunity, Gentiles, to have relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that's why, yeah, we must pray for Israel. But we also must pray for Palestine. Pray for the war. Pray that it ends. Because war doesn't solve anything. War is just bringing destruction, pain, and ruin to people. And who is the one that can bring the ultimate peace? And that is God Himself. God can bring peace. And so we must turn to God. Whether you're in war overseas, in war in your community, in war within your own household, in war with yourself, you absolutely must turn to God and say, Lord, I commit my life to You. I cannot do this without You. I live according to Your will, according to Your love. Because without You, I'm nothing. Amen. So, we see the scripture dealing with God's foreknowledge. And now we're going to be touching on the scripture dealing with God's determination. God's determination concerns Christ. God's determination concerns salvation and security for those who believe in Him, for believers. I'm going to touch on the second one, how it is concerning your security, your salvation. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7 says, and He fixed a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long of a time, just as been said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not be hardened in your heart, but be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which has granted us in Jesus Christ for all eternity. Amen. He determined us to be saved, to glorify His name. He loves us so much. Amen. The scripture deals with God's counsel. In Christ, in our salvation, in God's plan for the world, and also His concern for those who reject Him, who do not know Him. He wants to save them. He wants to save others. Amen. Man, God sanctifies us by His blood. He chose us. He chose us. And He gives us peace. This can be a whole sermon, guys. A peace to experience His favor, His blessings. And this true peace comes from Jesus Christ. And Christ alone can bring peace to your heart. And this kind of peace brings you deliverance and assurance into your soul. John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives you. So let your hearts not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace comes from the Lord. Amen. Wow. So let's pray. It's been an hour, guys. I know it's been powerful. Let's pray. Maybe later I can touch on more. But wow, that was just mind-blowing to me. So Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your peace, for choosing us, for predestining us, for electing us, for choosing us, for letting us come into your presence. Father God, thank you for the free will that you've given us. Thank you for giving us Jesus, who gives us peace. Lord God, there is no one like you. You made a way when there's no way. You predestined all things, so you know all things. So let us come into your presence, knowing that you know all things, that you can guide us into your perfect plan. Let us be your children and be your beloved as we continue seeking after you each and every day. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. They experience you, know you, live their life for you, and also build their life upon your firm foundation. Lord, there's no one like you, so we love you. And those who want to give your life to Christ, pray this with me. Dear Lord, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm lost. But I hear, I know that you are the Savior. And I need that Savior, and Jesus, be my Savior. I commit my life to you, to praying to you, to reading your word, to growing in you, to building your community. Lord, I commit my life to you 100%. Take my life. Come into my life and transform it to be more like Jesus, to be more like you. We love you because you loved us first. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Amen. Wow. Danielle says, "Amen, dear Lord. Glory to God. So smooth. Touch our hearts and our lives. Holy Spirit. Amen." I'm so glad, David James, you're learning. There's so much to learn. But we have hit 1 hour. I'm going to go through some application questions. And you're going to want to listen to this because as I go through application questions, you can ask me questions. I can pray for you. I can be with you, and you can hear some of my stories, some of my testimonies of our one true God. So number one, why is it amazing that God chose me? Wow. God chose me to be here with you, to be His mouthpiece. What an honor. It's an honor to be His chosen ones. It's an honor to do His biddings, to do His will. Because what I do is for something that is for eternity, for the eternal purpose. It's not just for the worldly purpose, not just for the worldly things, for eternity. So, I'm honored. And number two, what does this divine election mean for your current circumstances? This means that all that you see, all that you know, all of this is temporary. That if I'm in a bad place, dark place, it's temporary. And that's what I believed in my heart. And lo and behold, those things that held me down in the past, my gaming addiction, my binge watching, my toxic relationship, my isolation, all of that, temporary. But what is eternal is God. So my current situation is that I live from victory to victory because Jesus has defeated the devil on that cross. He is victorious, and we live in victory as Christians. I live from breakthrough to breakthrough because Jesus, he's the God of breakthrough. Nothing can break him down. Nothing. He's the God of breakthrough. And that same breakthrough, I carry breakthrough. And so people come to me for breakthrough. And by the grace of God, may you experience that great breakthrough and start carrying that breakthrough and pointing people to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dustin, praise God. Alexandria, yeah, I'm kind of hungry too. My body's so weird today. I'm thirsty, hungry, stuffy nose, needed to poop. Oh man, so weird. But I'm human, just like you, going through this life. So I'm thankful for God's divine election. And he has chosen you too. He has chosen you. Hey guys, thank you for the thumbs up, for the like, subscribe. It really helps the channel grow it. And I know God has good plans for you. And we do this live stream every day. Yeah. So early bird catches the worm. Today I did it early. And then number 3 out of 4 questions. How does knowing the role of God's perfect wisdom in season of suffering change your perspective on your trials? How does knowing the role of God's perfect wisdom, God's perfect plans, God's perfect thoughts and ways, how does it help me in seasons of suffering change my perspective in trials? You see, if you're feeling defeat, you can go from defeat to victory. And then victory to victory. You don't have to stay in the season of defeat. If you're feeling a season of shame, you don't have to stay in a season of shame. You can go from shame to glory, shame to peace, shame and regret to no more shame, to freedom in Christ, from freedom to freedom. I love that. That's great. You can go from victory to victory, glory to glory, life to life, faith to faith, strength to strength, freedom to freedom. Yes and amen. I'm free in Christ. Freedom forever. Jesus forever. Amen. Rapato. Rosia. We love the Lord. Amen. I love you, God. Thank you for doing this. Hey, all glory to God. Thank you, Alexandria. Said thank you for doing this. It's Yeah Boy says amen. And LOL 4656 says amen. Amen. Glory to God. Alicia. God is great. Hello, Jake. I'm Jake. Hello. Good to meet you. So, how does knowing God's perfect role in his perfect wisdom in seasons of suffering change your perspective? You see, seasons are called seasons for a reason. Seasons change. That means it's not always going to be summer. It's not always going to be winter. It's not always going to be fall or spring. But there's different seasons in your life. But when you are rooted in God, you're in a season of victory. I don't think you have to lay low, lay down. Don't think you have to lay in defeat. For you no longer have to be in the bondage of sin and death. You are living in a season of his glory. Amen. So my perspective on my trials, I see it as so small. I see it as temporary. I see it as a growing moment. I don't lose. I win or I learn. I win or I level up. I level up. either way. And then with this experience, I can help you guys as well. Amen. Kenzie, amen. Elohim, Yahweh, amen. He's great. Fourth question out of four. Alicia says amen. In what ways do you need to submit to God in times of refining? Refining, guys. What does that mean? To be refined. Let me look it up so I can give you a definition of refine. The definition of refine is to reduce to pure status, to purify, to remove by purifying, to be free from coarse, unsuitable, and immoral characteristic. To be refined like gold, pure gold, you need to go through fire. You need to go through being burned. And through the fire, being burned, it doesn't feel good always. No, there's tough times. But that refining builds your character. That refining builds your habits. That refining makes you more like Christ and closer to Him. Be refined by fire. Vicky sings amen. Refined and made holy, made pure, made more like Christ. Be His holy creation. So, in what ways do you need to submit to God in times of refining? How do you submit to Him? You submit to Him by humbling yourself. And then God can refine you. God can prune you so that you can be made whole, pure, without blemish. Amen. And you can be called righteous and enter into the heavenly places. What do I need to do? I need to check my ego out of the door. I need to not be prideful. I need to not take things for granted. And then submit myself to God. And know that He has good purpose and plans for me. Amen. All right. Oh, I gotta go make more videos. Gotta rest. Gotta poop again. But God has good plans for you guys. And may God bless you and be with you and grow you and lead you. Amen. I thank you, God, for all that you've done for me, for everyone here. May God bless you, be with you, guide you, lead you. In Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Panda out. On like. Amen. Thank you. Panda out on TikTok. And Panda out on YouTube. What is God's name? It's Yahweh. It's Elohim, God Almighty. It's Jehovah Jireh, God who provides our need. Yahweh, in Jesus' name, amen. Bye, Jose. Be happy. Take care. Love God. He loves you guys. It's been an hour and 20 minutes. I need to take care of some things. In Jesus' name, amen. Take care. Panda out.